Hi, guys. Jason Agnew here from Sunday Night's Main Event. Appreciate you downloading. Appreciate you listening each and every week. And if you can do us a favor and just give the show a rating in your podcatcher on iTunes. I mean, 5 stars would be great, but I don't want to tell you what to do. It would just be nice if we managed to get the ratings up. And if we do that, more people listen. That's awesome. Okay, here we go into this week's show.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
WWE puts plans in place for Mania. NXT lays out a somewhat complicated title picture to take over. And do fans care for Charlotte Flair? Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event, Canada's premier wrestling radio program coming at you across the country on the iHeartRadio Talk Network and TSN Radio. I'm your host, Jason Agnew, and we are at the dawn of WrestleMania season, friends. It's gone from a day to a weekend to a week-long event, and WWE's latest programming has given us a great indication as to what we can expect from this year's festivities. That'll be our focus this week as we take a deep dive into wrestling news with Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Then we've got our last quarterfinal in the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament, and we'll round things out with a visit from our All Elite Weekly co-host, Joe Aguinaldo. That is all to come and cover in the next hour, but first, let's get you all up to date with the week in wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
A health note to kick things off this week. It looks as though WWE's Road Dogg, real name Brian James, suffered a heart attack on Thursday. His wife posted up a note on her Facebook on Saturday detailing that James was in the hospital undergoing tests on his heart and kidneys and suffered a probable heart attack after returning home on Thursday night after the NXT tapings. She later provided an update writing that kidney tests came back clear and a heart cath is scheduled for Monday. Here is the card as to what we currently have for each night of WrestleMania, so you can pick and choose what you'd like to watch. Night 1, which is Saturday, April the 10th, WWE Championship is on the line with Bobby Lashley taking on Drew McIntyre. The SmackDown Women's title is on that night. That's Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair. The Raw Tag Team Championship match, The New Day, is going to take on AJ Styles, and the in-ring debut of Omos. The Miz will take on Bad Bunny, and right now, that is set for a one-on-one match, as opposed to Damian Priest and John Morrison also being involved in a tag, which surprises me. Shane McMahon will take on Braun Strowman, and Dan Lavransky is already excited for that one. And Cesaro will face Seth Rollins in the match of the swing. Really, there's no stip, but let's face it, with that build on SmackDown, it's all going to be about Cesaro getting Seth Rollins into that swing and spinning him around a record number of times. Night number 2, that is Sunday, April the 11th. The WWE Universal Championship match will headline. That's Roman Reigns versus Edge versus Daniel Bryan in three-way. Along with that, we got the Raw Women's Championship match on the line. Asuka versus Rhea Ripley. Now, for anyone that speculated that Charlotte Flair was going to get involved, by declaring this on the second night, I don't think this is becoming a three-way. I think those initial thoughts are pushed away because you're not going to do two championship three-ways on one card. At least I wouldn't, but who am I? WWE Intercontinental Championship match, Big E versus coming to America's own Apollo Crews. Randy Orton taking on The Fiend in whatever that is going to be. And Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn, like they set up on SmackDown, we see that match again. Is it too soon? I think so. Naturally, there will be more matches announced, including the SmackDown tag team titles, and I'd guess some sort of Logan Paul involvement in the Owens and Zayn match. Now, do keep in mind, we'll have our live and interactive after parties taking place after each one of these shows, hosted by myself and Dan the Mouth Lavransky. If you'd like to be a part of the live experience, it's video, it's on Zoom, we send you out a link. All you got to do is sign up at patreon.com/SNMEradio. And let me tell you something. We have got some fun shows lined up for the road to WrestleMania, something we have never done before. I put in place yesterday. I'm super excited. Could be some fun stuff coming up. All right. The podcasts, of course, for the after shows will also be posted on our public feed for everyone to listen to podcast-wise. But to hang out with us after Mania and drink some Great Lakes beers, we literally crack them open to start the shows. Sign up, patreon.com/SNMEradio. All right, friends, back into the week in wrestling news. AEW's John Silver had the biggest match of his life this week, taking on Darby Allin in the main event of Dynamite. And he has the war wounds to prove it. Silver tweeted Friday that he'll be out 4 to 6 weeks after suffering a shoulder injury on Wednesday's AEW Dynamite. The injury came in a spot where Silver ran at Allin and went over the barricade. As he did, his right arm appeared to plant awkwardly as he hit the cement. Luckily, he will not require surgery. There's no major damage. And luckily for Silver, that is very much unlike NXT's Danny Burch, who will be out for 6 months with the shoulder injury that he sustained last week in the tag match against Balor and Cross. That, of course, is the reason why Lorcan and Burch were forced to vacate the NXT tag titles, and we'll be getting a three-way tag match at one of the takeovers, MSK versus Grizzled Young Veterans versus Legado del Fantasmo. Let's take a look at the Wednesday Night Wars as far as the ratings go. Well, we still can. AEW Dynamite averaged 757,000 viewers. That is down 1.4% from last week. NXT, on the other hand, averaged 678,000 viewers. That's a big bump of 13.6% from last week. Let's face it, both of these numbers are going to soar after WrestleMania because the shows are moving to separate nights. Now, as those two shows are now going to be on separate nights, Impact Wrestling also announced it will be moving its flagship weekly show on Access TV to Thursday nights. That is starting on April the 8th. This, of course, is to avoid the competition of NXT moving to Tuesday. And yes, that is a smart move on the part of Impact Wrestling. That now means you can officially watch a minimum of 2 hours North American-based professional wrestling on TV every single night of the week. It's a wrestling fan's dream, I guess. More is more, friends. Okay, now, as far as Impact goes, they also announced their Rebellion pay-per-view will now be taking place on Sunday, April 25th. Now, that show had originally been set to take place on Saturday, April 24th, which is the same night as UFC 21, which is going to be that night where Dana White is packing a whole venue in Florida, no social distancing, sold out in minutes. Yeah, so you don't want to run against that, considering the hype it's getting. And this is a big pay-per-view event for Impact. Kenny Omega versus Rich Swann, with both companies having the titles on the line. Interesting. And one that will probably draw quite a bit of attention. So good to move it onto the Sunday. Cody Rhodes tweeted out that Red Velvet has signed a full-time contract with AEW. Personally, I'm surprised that wasn't a thing already. In other AEW news, they're running a house show. Wow. The company announced that it will run a house show at Daly's Place in Jacksonville, Florida on Friday, April 9th. Now, that is, of course, during WrestleMania weekend, the Friday before the two major WWE events and right after the TakeOver events. So think about that. SmackDown is a pre-tape that night, so anyone that may have come in for the TakeOver shows and are going to Mania, they're going to have that Friday night free, so why not go see AEW? Tony Khan announced prior to this past Wednesday's Dynamite that AEW would be running on the Friday, and when they announced the event on Dynamite, they said it wouldn't be televised, but didn't mention whether it will be shown at a later date. Oh, also announced on Wednesday night's Dynamite, something called Roads to the Top, which will be a new reality show on TNT and going to be centered around Cody and Brandy as they balance their professional and personal lives. Plus, there's a baby involved. Don't know if I'll be tuning into this one, friends. But one thing this does show is that AEW is doing so well with ratings that TNT has granted them a reality show. It's just very good for AEW. Not good for one Jason Agnew to watch this show. Back to WrestleMania. As we get into WrestleMania week, here are the inductees for this year's class of the WWE Hall of Fame. Kane, Rob Van Dam, the great Khali. Oh, boy. They are going to join the previously announced Eric Bischoff and Molly Holly. Plus, we have all of those from last year going in as well. That is the NWO, the Bellas, JBL, Davey Boy Smith, and Jushin Thunder Liger. I don't know how they're going to manage to do all of this. The goal is to get these done in one night. Now, Dave Bautista, who was supposed to be part of last year's class, tweeted out that he cannot make it this year due to a scheduling conflict. I mean, let's face it, he's kind of moved beyond the world of WWE at this point, and there's a lot of other things going on. But our sincere condolences go out to Dana Brooke. Expect some edits in the content as NBC Peacock migrates over the WWE library. The Hollywood Reporter wrote that Peacock is reviewing all WWE content in its archive and making WWE aware of any editing. A couple of edits we've already seen: Rowdy Roddy Piper versus Bad News Brown from WrestleMania 6, where Piper appeared in half blackface. And the other is Survivor Series 2005, where Vince McMahon used the N-word in a backstage segment with John Cena and Booker T. Hey, not exactly politically correct for 2021. Then again, though, probably not politically correct for the time period that it happened. But does wrestling have to be politically correct? I don't know. Food for thought, friends. And finally, a couple of MMA notes to round things out here on the show. At last night's UFC 260, Francis Ngannou knocked out Stipe Miocic in the second round to win the heavyweight title and potentially set up a mega fight with former UFC light heavyweight champion John Jones. UFC's Cupcake will be returning to the octagon. After nearly 5 years in retirement, the former UFC and Strikeforce bantamweight champion Misha Tate is returning to action in the UFC. While not officially announced by the organization, ESPN reported the 34-year-old will face Marion Renault on Saturday, July 17th as part of a fight night event that is not yet on their schedule. And you can bet if she wins this fight, Misha that is, her star power alone will have her being led to slaughter against Amanda Nunes shortly thereafter. Good payday, though. Good payday. So maybe it makes sense to be punched in the face a whole bunch of times to get, millions of bucks. Hey, let's take a break. Let's come back. We'll chat with Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer newsletter next. Don't forget, Turnbuckle Trivia still to come. And then Joe Aguinaldo to round things out tonight. You are listening to Canada's Wrestling Radio Show, Sunday night's main event.
Only when light is combined with the dark is the universe perfect and complete. Like a hypnotizing drumbeat heard deep within the swampy shores, a bubbling kettle brews. She engages your spirit, sending ripples across the surface of your soul. Allow her sacred science and divine state of consciousness to unveil your contact point toward complete clarity. Cosmically grounded, she is all at once every element, fueling the nectar of your memory, drip by velvety drip. Ascending from the mist, Haze Mama breaks in balance while granting an alternative perception, otherwise unavailable, unless by virtue of her wondrous alchemy. Shh. Haze Mama New England IPA, available year-round for only $3.50. Great Lakes, brewed for you, Ontario.
I'm Boris Aguilar.
And I'm Matt Ederer.
Together, we're the Young Guns.
I would like to acknowledge the fact that we are in our 30s.
Anyways, as winners of the Sunday Night's Main Event Patreon Podcast Contest, we now have a weekly show.
That show is called NXT Talk, where we talk about NXT.
The show drops every Thursday, and the only way you can listen is if you're a patron. So if you aren't, you can sign up at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And remember, we're the Young Guns.
And the show is NXT Talk.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
Taking a deeper dive into the wrestling news of the week and a little MMA as well. Joining me now, Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer newsletter. And Dave, you know, whenever we hear a story about a wrestler's heart, that definitely goes to the top of the news. Definite concern here. Road Dogg, Brian James, a heart condition, a heart attack is what we suspect. Anything new on this?
Yeah, we really don't know anything past what his wife wrote yesterday. And the deal was is that when on Thursday, when he was coming back from Orlando for the NXT tapings, he collapsed. He was sent to the hospital. She was pretty sure it was a heart attack and possible kidney damage, but then they checked. His kidneys are doing fine, and he's going to have a heart test, and he's going to have a heart catheterization tomorrow to find out what the actual damage was to his heart. And we just wish the best. I mean, that family had a tough year, terribly tough year this last year because, his mother and his father both died within months of each other. And, Brad died very young.
Yeah.
And that's always a tragedy when someone dies at the age of Brad. And Brad was a really good guy. And Brian's 51. Just wish the best for him. I'm sure everyone does.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you just all those years. I mean, I'm sure he was quite the partier, to say the least, in the Attitude Era and beyond. So hopefully his heart can keep on going.
Yeah, that's such a sad situation. Yeah.
Let's talk someone else and health of someone else. Charlotte Flair. So this to me read very interesting on Monday night, coming out publicly and saying that Charlotte was recovering from COVID, and like having Rhea Ripley say it to me felt slightly taunting. The only other person we've seen really come out with it was Drew McIntyre when he was pulled off television. It felt like,
but they had to acknowledge it.
Yes.
Drew McIntyre, in the sense that if you remember, he was in the main event of that television show.
Yes.
That he couldn't appear on, and he's the top guy on the brand. So I mean, they could just say nothing, but I think in the case of Drew McIntyre, they decided to say something and even use him as a spokesperson.
Mm-hmm.
With the Charlotte Flair thing, it is interesting because, you know, week one, when she was off, nobody said a word, and everybody was to keep quiet. And then about 9 days into the thing, she tweeted right before Raw about it, and then Rhea Ripley talked about it. So it was the explanation for changing the women's championship match at WrestleMania. And maybe that's the reason why, because they needed an explanation to change the women's championship match, and they just decided to go with the truth. So, but it's weird only because, you know, in so many cases, so many people have had COVID, and they've always gone with the idea that if the match is more than 2 weeks out, we'll still advertise the match because in most cases, you're going to be recovered. So I don't know what the difference is with her as compared to, you know, Drew McIntyre. I mean, it's not like they changed a pay-per-view match with him. And they even had the Saudi match. I mean, not Saudi, the India match with Drew. That, I mean, like, he basically made that one by one day, you know, and they never pulled it or anything like that. They advertised it all the way through.
So, Dave, I mean, I look at this as, A, it's hit her tougher, and it could very well have hit her tougher.
Well, story.
You know? Yeah. Well, B, though, you know, the conspiracy files come out. Andrade getting his release now.
Not on this one.
No.
Not on this one. This is not a reprisal or anything like that. No. No.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying they wouldn't do, I mean, that there's no such thing as reprisals, but in her case, I don't see it because she's so well liked by everyone in the company. They're not going to pull her from WrestleMania because her fiance wanted to leave the company. I don't. You know, if it was someone at a much, much lower level, could that happen? I suppose. But, I mean, I've seen, like, with so many different people, they don't hold the grudge against the person, you know, against the spouse or the whatever. Do they against the person? I mean, but now, here, you know, there is one thing, though. And, you know, there is the unanswered question, why is Andrade free to go to AEW tomorrow when nobody else ever has been able to go without the 90-day non-compete? And I don't know. That's another interesting question.
Yeah, really interesting. So, I mean, it's fun to follow the behind-the-scenes aspect of this with stuff like that. All right, let's get back into the ring, but pulling out of the world of YouTube, we have Logan Paul showing up on SmackDown next week and looking to be part of WrestleMania, I'd suspect.
I know 100% he's part of WrestleMania. I presume it's going to be either, you know, I'm going to guess, like, perhaps a guest referee or guest enforcer or something. But it will be involved in the Kevin Owens. I know it's going to be within the Kevin Owens-Sami Zayn match. But I don't know what the role is just yet.
which makes sense because you have Logan Paul on one night and you have Bad Bunny on the other night. So you get two celebrity rubs, at least in WWE brain.
Right. You know, and I mean, that's at this stage of the game, with the popularity of wrestling being what it is, I do think that when you have a big show, you want that celebrity thing. Plus, it's tougher because, you know, ESPN is cut way back to, like, pretty much nil on WWE coverage. So if that's the case, a celebrity like that, at least maybe you'll get the pop culture media talking about them. Because the thing with, and this goes with both AEW and WWE right now, is that what they both need, and AEW even more than WWE, is they need that part, put it, kind of making it part of the news beyond the wrestling audience. The wrestling audience is very well served for news, but that news travel does not travel outside of wrestling. Like say with UFC, where you know the news travels all throughout the sports world, even to non-UFC fans, which enables them to do these giant shows that wrestling can no longer do. So yeah, that's what, in theory, that's what you're looking for. And the other one is that you're looking for the rub and making somebody a star off the celebrity. You know, because let's face it, Hulk Hogan and Wendy Richter and Roddy Piper all came off of Cyndi Lauper and Mr. T in that first run. And Austin, you know, obviously got the rub off of Mike Tyson. And that's when you have a celebrity, yeah, you want that publicity for the day, but you also want to create a star using them, which is one of the reasons why I was really surprised that they switched. And maybe it's a John Morrison injury, I don't know, why they switched the Miz match from a tag, because it was going to be Miz and Morrison against Bad Bunny and Damian Priest, where Damian Priest was the guy to get the rub, to, on this last week's TV, Damian Priest was not even on the show, and while he's still in the corner, all of a sudden, you know, he's no longer in the match.
I mean, that could change between then and now, but I too was surprised at the announcement because this all seemed to lead up to Damian Priest. I mean, they've actually done very well with keeping him strong, which is not something that we often say about NXT performers coming up.
Right, right. And and also, of course, you know, one of the things that they're looking for, he's not a young guy.
Right.
They're looking for that Latin star, and he speaks Spanish, and it's Puerto Rican and not Mexican, and there is a difference, but he's tall, you know, which is the one knock that they've always had with Rey Mysterio.
Mm-hmm.
But also Rey's 46. You know, even though Damian Priest is probably 38.
Yeah.
But he's newer, you know. So they're always searching for that because their audience, you know, they have a very high Latin audience. So they want to serve them with a top baby face, and this seemed to be the guy. And he's like, again, so many of the guys with NXT, when we talk about not making it, the problem is they're not tall. And Vince, when it comes to the main roster, so favors guys who are. And Damian Priest is probably 6'4", 6'5". He's a tall guy.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's talk about Mania. Night 2, that is. Edge, Reigns, Bryan. It's going to be a three-way. Is there still the prevailing WWE mentality that a babyface must come out on top to cap off this event and send fans home happy? And if that's the case, does that bode well for Daniel Bryan?
That would bode well for Daniel Bryan. I don't know what they're going to do, but I don't think that that's necessarily the mentality. Because, you know, one of the things is they are really trying to get Roman Reigns over to eventually be a babyface.
Sure.
To be that babyface. But right now is the heel run to get him over, which they probably should have done 2-3 years earlier.
Yes.
But so they're a little bit playing catch-up. But it is working. But, I mean, look, Roman Reigns can lose the title and win it back. It's not the end of the world. It's not like this decision means he's going to be champion for another year. But they may want, you know, in their own mind, they may want to do this long one-year title reign. And if that's the case, then they can't beat him for a year. So it will be an interesting decision. I mean, they've beaten Daniel Bryan at every turn. So in some ways, that is their, you know, that sometimes is their MO, is that they beat the guy at every turn, but then they give him the win at the end. And so you forget that they, you know, booked him this way. And then with Edge, you know, I mean, I think turning him heel, which they did, kind of takes away the idea that you want that storyline where he, you know, the big storybook thing that he was working for. And as a babyface, it would have been real kind of a downer for people who followed that story for him to come back, win the Royal Rumble, you know, and then come to WrestleMania and lose. That's kind of a bummer. But maybe the turning of the heel changes that dynamic to where he doesn't have to win. Because in the old storyline, the way it was going, it was kind of like, you know, how do you do this without Edge winning? But I know that they really don't want to beat Roman Reigns either. Now you're throwing in Daniel Bryan. The one thing with Daniel Bryan is that he could perhaps, Daniel Bryan can beat Edge, and the Roman Reigns thing is that, well, Roman never lost. You know, it was that fluky, weird rule that WWE has, and he was jobbed out of the championship. And you can tell that story, too.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it goes exactly that way. Hey, let's talk Mania tickets and, well, tickets in Florida. Maybe we should start with UFC 261, because it seems like UFC fans have no problem with going to a very crowded arena, a sellout.
A sellout instantly. Well, there was a pent-up demand. But, yeah, I mean, you never know with ticket sales. I know UFC people and a lot of MMA fans were telling me that they were going to sell out. But they sold out instantly, pretty much in the pre-sale. And high ticket prices, it was the biggest gross in the history of that building in Jacksonville. And in fact, the biggest indoor gross in the history of sports in Jacksonville was was the UFC show coming up with Kamaru Usman and Jorge Masvidal. So, yeah, they got, you know, huge. And it's going to be interesting to see next when they put the Houston tickets on sale. But, yeah, it's the first, as far as I know, it's the first sports event or entertainment event in an indoor building where they were using full capacity. And, I mean, it's funny because, like, on the show last night, Dana White's going, like, you know, they said we couldn't do it. And it's like, nobody said you couldn't do it. Anyone. Vince McMahon could do it. Tony Khan could do it. Any NBA team could do it tomorrow. You know, there is not an NBA team that couldn't go, like, you know what, let's put tickets on sale for one game, okay, and not sell it out. I mean, if it was only for one game, could you? If you said we're going to put tickets on sale for the rest of the season, will they sell out the season? Probably not. But for one, any one of these NBA teams could have done the same thing. Nobody does it because they're more socially responsible. And, I mean, I don't know, Dana's like, you know, bragging about something that he did because nobody else has the social irresponsibility to do. That's kind of weird to me.
And as far as WrestleMania goes, we don't necessarily know at this point as far as ticket sales or how many they are putting in.
What we do know is whatever the allotment that was put up in the pre-sale, that almost all are gone. It did not sell out instantly, but it did come close, and there's a little over 1,000 tickets left for Saturday, and there was last time I checked, there was 864 tickets left for Sunday. I don't know if that's out of 25,000 or they put less tickets on sale first. Nobody seems to have an actual number of how many, other than how many are left. And perhaps if there are tickets gone, do they then add more? That we don't know either. So it's... I mean, it's obviously it's less than 25, mm-hmm. but, you know, less than 25 each night. But what that number actually is, nobody will say.
Dave, a pleasure chatting with you as always. That's great for this week. Observer-wise, what are the highlights of the website?
Let's see. So, this last issue was real big. We had, like, a really in-depth story. The Barry Orton story.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ended up being, you know, between talking to one of his friends and great work by Jamie Hemmings at Slam, who was like a personal friend of his, and then all my remembrances of him from the 90s, it's a really interesting portrayal of the guy. So that was interesting. We also have an interesting look at Fastlane versus the AAA Revolution show, only because it's the first time in history that in the same month each one ran a show and the AEW show had more interest, general public interest. And I actually went through market by market. The most fascinating thing of going through market by market on this, and granted, you know, WrestleMania is going to blow away Revolution, of
sure.
course.
Yeah.
And it was a very low number for WWE, and it was the peak number for AEW. So, but when that happened, I mean, it's not like there was ever a month where TNA, you know, a TNA show, let's mm-hmm. say, had more interest in even than even the lowest WWE. But what was interesting to me is going market by market, is that the markets that I thought AEW would be ahead in were the ones they were behind, with some exceptions. And the ones that I thought for sure WWE would be ahead in, like New York and Boston and San Francisco and LA, AEW was ahead in. You know, the Carolinas... were you know, you would think with Tony Schiavone and Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson and all that, the Carolinas are actually far stronger for WWE. The places, and I'm not saying like in New York, AEW is stronger than WWE. It's not. I'm just saying that the least interest AEW pay-per-view, or WWE pay-per-view, the AEW show, the most interesting AEW show actually beat it in New York. It killed it in Boston. It killed it in Vegas.
Wow.
Jacksonville is the one that you would expect that would be strong for AEW, and it was.
Mm-hmm.
Orlando was actually stronger for AEW, which shocked me since it's the home base of a lot of WWE programming. But it's just a fascinating look. I mean, I don't know how important it is, but it just surprised me in so many markets when I was looking through that it's like, okay, this is going to be a big market for WWE. You know, it's traditional and all this. Or this is going to be a big market for AEW because of who they have. And what you would guess was wrong most of the time.
Fascinating. All right, we'll look forward to that, and we'll chat with you next week at this same time. Thanks, Dave.
Okay, have a great week.
Get all of Dave's work at WrestlingObserver.com and hear him every week here on Sunday Night's Main Event. We're off to a break. We're going to come back, and it's our final semifinal. Final semifinal. Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I meant. And that is next of the Turnbuckle Trivia 2021 tournament right here on Sunday Night's Main Event.
I'm a fool to do your dirty work. Oh, yeah.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today. WrestlingObserver.com.
I'm Manny Arsenault, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand, 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Front Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday Night's Main Event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they stay there.
Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday Night's Main Event. And we are in the quarterfinals of the tournament. It is number 3 seed versus number 6 seed here. So both very, very high on the charts. First up, he was number 3. He's Jay, formerly of North Bay, but will always have that name on the show. Jay, you're facing someone that is only 3 spots behind you. How's your confidence level?
I'm good. I'm feeling high, but I'm not high.
Okay. All right. Josh, to you from North Carolina. Josh, were you just happy that you didn't have to watch this whole week of wrestling this time around?
Yes, very much so.
Well, that's good. Guys, I didn't put you through it again, but instead, here is your category for the quarterfinals. Everybody got it. It is the pop culture of pro wrestling, meaning when pro wrestling invades pop culture and vice versa. So here we go. Jay, first question for you, then I'll go on to Josh. We're going to go way, way back here, Jay, to WrestleMania number 1, the original. Who was the special outside-the-ring referee for the main event, Jay?
Was that Mr. Muhammad Ali?
That was Muhammad Ali. Very good. Josh, to you. What classic Muhammad Ali opponent was in Mr. T's corner for his boxing match versus Roddy Piper at WrestleMania 2?
Joe Louis.
Oh, you had the Joe right,
so close.
But it was Joe Frazier that was in his corner. I'm sorry. 1-0 now for Jay, and back to you we go. Jay, what iconic game show personality guest hosted Raw on September 7th, 2009, and got into a face-to-face with Chris Jericho?
Bob Barker.
You got it. Have them pets spayed and neutered. That is correct. Now, Josh, do you remember that Raw, Josh?
Vaguely, I remember the Bob Barker punching Jericho part.
All right, well, let's see what else you remember, because when Barker was doing the Showcase Showdown on, it wasn't the Showcase Showdown, but when he was having people bid, which performer asked to buy a vowel?
I have no idea. Sounds like R-Truth.
Oh, it would be in this era, but in that era, it was Santino Marella asked to buy a vowel. And I have to say, guys, going back and watching that, Bob Barker was awesome. Like, just an incredible guest host. He and Jericho were wonderful together. Definitely worthwhile going to watch.
One of my few regrets in life and never got to do the Prices Right. I would love to have done that.
Yeah, with Bob. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. All right, Jay, back to you here. Now, Barker's replacement on The Price is Right, which you could go down there and do that still, it would be with Drew Carey. Drew Carey found himself as part of the 2001 Royal Rumble. Who did he offer money to when he got in the ring?
The mayor of Knox County, Kane.
That is correct. Very good. It was Kane. Very good memory, Jace. All right, Josh, to you. Speaking of Kane, Pete Rose made his second WWE appearance and tried to get revenge on Kane. What character did Rose appear dressed as?
Oh, he was the chicken from the baseball team.
I'm going to give you that, Josh. That is correct. He was the San Diego Chicken, the chicken from the baseball team. That works for me. So there you go. I'll give you that one. I think you need the help at this point. So, Jay, you're up 3-1 here. And let's keep it going. Your next one, and this will be the win if you get it. The Godfather of Soul, James Brown, appeared in WCW at Super Brawl 2000. He danced in the ring alongside what WCW talent?
Alex Wright?
That is incorrect. You got the dancing right, but when you talk about the Godfather of Soul, he was there beside Ernest the Cat Miller. Right? That gimmick that his whole theme song was a James Brown ripoff.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Josh, we go to you. You're still in this. Let's talk WCW, which I know is one of your specialties. In 1999, what rapper led the No Limit Soldiers versus Mr. Perfect and the West Texas Rednecks?
Master P.
That is correct, Josh. I'm sure you're a big fan and have all his albums.
Not quite, but...
Jay, once again, this is sudden death. If you get this, you get the win. If not, you leave the door open for Josh. Fictional movie detective Frank Drebin was enlisted to go in search of The Undertaker at SummerSlam 1994. What is the name of the actor that plays Frank Drebin, Jay?
Leslie Nielsen.
That is absolutely correct for the win. The Canadian legend of regular acting and then comedy, Leslie Nielsen of the Naked Gun films appeared in terrible sketches at SummerSlam 1994. You remembered it, and that got you the win. Congratulations, Jay from North Bay. Josh, I gotta say goodbye. I'm sorry you had a great run, though, my friend, but ultimately, Santino Marella and Joe Frazier, your reasons for not continuing on.
Yeah, I knew all of his questions.
Well, that seems to be the way that it is when we go on the back and forth. I tried to keep him even, guys. Thanks for playing. And Jay, congratulations. I'll be talking to you for next round.
Just don't call me Shirley.
And with that, we are done the semi-final round. Our final four are in place. It will be Scott versus Matt on one side of the bracket. Will Matt be able to take out another favorite in the tournament? We'll find out. And on the other side, it is Paul versus Jay. And next round, a new category, super fun stuff. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to tease you. It's going to happen next week. A very fun game to be played. So listen for it. And then remember, as we get through the tournament, we go back into our regular game, offering up t-shirts from ballergear.ca every week to patrons who play. So if you want to be one of them, starting after WrestleMania, join on in patreon.com/snmeradio, and you can be going head-to-head with someone in turnbuckle trivia. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Joe Aguinaldo will join me to talk about the week that was in pro wrestling, and again, take a look ahead to what is to come for WrestleMania week not weekend, week. We'll do that next. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event.
I'm here at Great Lakes Brewery in Etobicoke, Ontario, Canada, among the bubbly excitement of hearing the transmission of the first ever experience of Thrust and IPA.
Lucky, can is open.
Initiating proper can tipping into vessel. Immediate observation, this beer's appearance is absolutely breathtaking.
Noted. Continue.
Also noting a penetrating aroma of grapefruit, mango, grape, stone fruit, and lychee.
Continue, Lackey.
Huh. I pounded back a gulp successfully. It did elicit a poking and prodding of tropical fruit and resin on my taste buds.
All right.
It appears my palate is succumbing to the perforation of Thrust and IPA. All right, I gotta go. Over.
Well, there you have it, folks. Thrust and IPA. A New England IPA brought to you by the spacey intergalactic folks at Great Lakes Brewery. Drink it fresh, please.
I'm Dan the Mouth Lowransky.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the Old Fucks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the Old Fucks. Tough guy!
You guys want an opportunity? Who wants an opportunity? Okay? Any one of you guys that takes Drew McIntyre out before WrestleMania, I will give you that opportunity. Step up, take him out. And any one of you guys have an opportunity to become the WWE Champion. But take him out!
Take me out!
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. The final block is where we get into talking about the week that was in pro wrestling. And joining me to do that this week, one of our hosts on Sunday Night's Main Event. He is the co-host of the All Elite Weekly podcast. He is Joe Aguinaldo. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Hey, hey, hey. How's it going?
Well, Joe, you have been messaging me and have been telling me that you want to talk about the bounty. The Bobby Lashley bounty that is being put out on Drew McIntyre. And, you know, yourself and Dan Lavransky, you're known as the old word we can't say. It starts with an F and rhymes with bucks. And you're an old school fan. So what about this bounty has got you so uppity?
All right. So I have been watching wrestling for something like, I want to say 43-ish years. Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen bounty, like I saw Bob Orton Jr. and Dick Slater take a bounty, from Harley Race to take Ric Flair out. I've seen Abdullah the Butcher be brought in as a bounty hunter. I've seen Kamala when he was like monster heel, as a bounty hunter type of character. You know, someone calls them in to take somebody out. In the year 2021, Bobby Lashley, an MVP, went into the locker room of the 24/7 contenders, consisting of Tazawa, Drew Gulak, Ricochet was in there.
Humberto Carrillo, always. Yes, Humberto Carrillo is going to take out Drew McIntyre, Joe.
Exactly, and I understood what they were doing. I got it, but I just could not take that seriously at all. Are you going to tell me any of those guys or even any combination of those guys are going to take out Drew? Yeah, no, it's not happening. And I was absolutely just sort of like, what is going on with WWE here?
You know, it's a great point you bring up. And we had talked about this on the Midweek Markout podcast, myself and Mark Andrada. What this could lead to, I actually fear to ruin what's going on with this angle, because this leads itself to comedy. We've already seen this group of characters be running after R-Truth. And if you run along those same lines, which I think they may, this is a whole bunch of sketches this week on Raw where these guys try to take out Drew McIntyre and fail.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's what I'm afraid of, because it's not like it's going to be serious, I guess, or I can't take it seriously with any of those characters. I mean, look, as much as we've ragged on Retribution, for example, even if Bobby Lashley had gone to Retribution, at least physically, they look like they could take out Drew McIntyre.
Right, right.
You know
and
what
a,
I mean?
Yeah, but, and as a group as well, right?
Yeah,
two huge
exactly.
Dudes.
But,
yeah.
like what I'm afraid we're gonna get, and I hope I'm just being totally over exaggerating here, but you know, you're gonna see Drew McIntyre walking down the backstage, and then the Benny Hill music's gonna come on, and you're gonna see Tozawa and like Drew Gulak sort of sneaking around with a kendo stick trying to get at him or something, yeah, you know, some stupidity like that. And I would not put it past the WWE to put something like that together leading into Mania. And it's like, no, like you guys have a killer heel in Bobby Lashley, who, you know, we've turned the corner on. You know, Drew McIntyre, you know, whether you like him or not, he's been booked strong. We don't need this bounty with the 24/7 people coming after Drew McIntyre. It's just, I don't want to see that happen leading into Mania.
I also don't like the fact that they're putting a stake in between the Hurt Business. I like the Hurt Business as a faction. I think they look great draped in gold. I think they got a great mouthpiece with MVP. You know, if they were going to break them up, I liked what they were doing previously with Cedric Alexander trying to take the star power away over Shelton Benjamin. And now these guys, you know, you might as well sit them in that dressing room with all the other jobbers, because Alexander and Benjamin were made to look horrendous on Monday, and it seems that the Hurt Business is not a strong entity anymore.
No, like I was starting to really dig like the Hurt Business stuff, and then all of a sudden it's like, what are you guys doing with Cedric and Shelton here? And yeah, like it didn't make sense. And I mean, I found myself saying that a lot, you know, during this Raw. It's like, what are you doing? Quite frankly, the other thing I kept saying about this Raw was, haven't we seen this before?
But that's WWE, Joe. That is WWE full on. And I mean, let's talk about what went on SmackDown, because you want to talk about seeing it before. Daniel Bryan losing, and then ending up in a world title match at WrestleMania. We've seen that before. We're seeing it again. It's confirmed this week that we get Edge versus Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan goes out and tells Edge he's tired of people that don't deserve shots getting shots. I'm sorry. I remember Edge winning the Royal Rumble to get his shot. I remember Daniel Bryan losing a couple times very recently. This made no sense. And, I mean, even more so with me, Joe. Edge was hand-delivered to them as a wonderful babyface and comeback story, and they've ruined it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let me preface this by saying I have been a huge Daniel Bryan fan. I still am a big Daniel Bryan fan, but this storyline, let's start with, we've seen this before. All right. So on SmackDown, Daniel Bryan comes in, chair in the ring. I'm not leaving till I get my title shot. It's like, okay. Saw that. The other thing, and then, like, you know, they come out, we see Daniel Bryan get beat up. Seen that before leading into Mania. But like, let's look at Edge for a sec. Like, and again, maybe I'm just looking into this too much, but why would Edge even care who he's facing at WrestleMania? He's got the title shot. He's got it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So for him to be saying, you're taking away my dream, you're taking away my legacy, it's like, no, he's not. Like, Daniel, like Edge, you've got the title shot. So it doesn't really matter who he should be wrestling. And now here's my other issue with this. Okay, they put Daniel Bryan in this match, all right? So as a Daniel Bryan fan, I love it, right? But it's like, why are we putting Daniel Bryan in the match? Most likely to take the pin.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that, Joe.
Okay, I hope that I'm wrong here, okay? I'm just going by WWE logic, all right?
Okay.
So, like, I've seen a lot of talk where, like, they put Daniel Bryan in because they want him to take the pin so that Roman or Edge doesn't look weak. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. We've heard that a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
Last time I checked, Ric Flair didn't need a third person to put somebody over. Last time I checked, John Cena, when he wrestled CM Punk, didn't need a third person to put Punk over and to not look weak. You know what I mean? So I really hope that that's not the case, but it's like, I don't get this three-way match. And again, this is as a Daniel Bryan fan, right? You know, there's part of me that really wants him to win, but I just don't see it happening. In fact, I don't see any outcome but Roman Reigns winning this thing, because he's right now your hottest star. Why are you going to put the brakes on that?
All right. Great points. And, you know, I actually just chatted with Meltzer about this because my question here was it has been declared that this is night two of WrestleMania. This is the big crescendo match for everything that is the week leading up to it all leads to this triple threat at Mania. Here's your culmination, 2021. We're back in the stadium. We've got fans. We want to leave those fans happy. That's the WWE mentality for the end of WrestleMania. So by that mentality, because you just mentioned WWE mentality, by that mentality, who's winning this match? It's Daniel Bryan.
Again, I as a Daniel Bryan fan, I hope you're right. I don't see it happening. I just don't think it's the right thing to happen. Let's put it that way.
What is the right thing to happen in your opinion? Roman
Honestly,
Reigns?
I think Roman Reigns wins it. Edge, look, I love Edge, okay? Love Daniel Bryan. Let me get all that stuff out of the way because, you know, I'm sure I'm going to get some heat from this. Like, Edge is an older dude. Maybe you give him, like, a one-month title run, maybe. But really, if you know, Edge and Daniel Bryan are all about giving back to the business and, you know, making sure they leave it better than when they came in, Roman Reigns has got to be the winner.
Interesting. Well, I listen, I will at least give it this. I would have preferred a one-on-one Edge and Roman Reigns. I have been talking about, well, honestly, I would have preferred Roman Reigns and Goldberg if they didn't mess up the Goldberg thing, because I go back to that. That's the match we didn't see last year. I mean,
exactly.
It was 100% completely just laid out for us there. Now, granted, that should have ended with a Roman Reigns victory. But moving forward from that, we're not doing that. We're getting Edge and Roman Reigns, and I was all about that. I was all about an Edge victory at the end of this. Spear versus spear, one-on-one, ultimately Edge gets the victory. Whether there's funny, I mean, there could have been funny business if we left Christian there, but it wouldn't have mattered to me, right? So right. They're not getting that. They've turned Edge heel. And with that in mind, I'm at least curious about the three-way because I don't know how it's going to go. And I like that. Not knowing how it's going to go because it intrigues me into the match. I will buy near falls because I'm not convinced of one winner. I'm not sure. And that's the way every match should be watched if you think about it.
Oh, yeah. No, like, again, I'm not entirely hating on it. Again, I would love Daniel Bryan to win as a Daniel Bryan fan. I would just kind of like coming back to your original point, I just would have rather have seen Edge versus Roman. That was a story that had already written itself.
Sure.
You've got, you know, two guys, or at least you've got one guy and you've got Paul Heyman, could have cut some great promos. You know, you had the Jey Uso thing. You know what I mean? Like, yep. You had this story handed to you. Now, again, I could be completely wrong. I'm not saying that I know everything, but just based on what I was looking at, I was like, ah, they kind of ruined that storyline for me because I really wanted to see Edge versus Roman.
All right, before we go, at least we go away from the terrestrial radio broadcast and the podcast, the freebie one, I do want to chat with you about Rhea Ripley. She made her debut this past week. I mean, you've talked about it. We've all talked about the fact that we loved the showing of Rhea Ripley at the Royal Rumble. She was tremendous there. She was the second one in, and then all of a sudden there were 2 months has gone by. Now she shows up. She challenges Asuka. You know, I see that as the right move. It's not the program I want. I obviously want the Rhea Ripley Charlotte Flair program to, you know, tie back into what they did last year. To me, it's past its due date as far as Rhea Ripley getting on television. And along with that, slightly unmotivated. I'm not as excited as I should be to see her in this feud that doesn't have a storyline leading up to it. You?
I thought her debut was anticlimactic.
Yeah.
I mean, they were really hyping the coming soon thing, the nightmare. You know, it was like, all right, these are really, you know, good looking vignettes. And then she just kind of came out and then did the thing with Asuka. And I was like, oh, okay, they could have made that a little bit more exciting. So, yeah, like, I don't know about unmotivated, but definitely anticlimactic for me. And that's a shame because I really like Rhea Ripley. You know, hopefully they can, you know, hopefully they do have this title match, though, with Asuka. But yeah, just again, I was expecting bigger and better things. Let's just put it that way.
Even if they had done the segment the way they did it, and when Asuka was saying, "You're not ready for Asuka," Rhea Ripley just slugs her in the face and stares her down.
I think that little wrinkle in the presentation would have been perfect. Like, where you're not ready for Asuka, big boot.
Asuka wasn't ready for her. You know,
exactly. Right.
It's not hard.
And I think that's what really bugged me. And then the whole pointing to the sign thing, it's gone. Like, you know, like,
too much. I mean, I can't wait till that WrestleMania sign goes away so we can stop seeing people awkwardly point at it. The amount of people that have done that is just ridiculous. It's become such a trope. Joe, okay, here's what we're going to do. You and I are going to continue to talk right now. If you're listening on one of our radio affiliates or if you're listening to the free podcast feed, what you need to do is subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/SNMEradio, because Joe and I have got another half hour of talking about This Week in Wrestling. It is coming up to all of our podcast listeners on the Patreon feed now. But I am getting on out of here, at least for our terrestrial radio listeners. We're going to be back here next Sunday night for Sunday night's main event. Find all of our podcasts online at snmeradio.com. We will chat with you then. Don't you dare miss it.